It's not just good conversation, it's your voice on the weekends. Weekends with Kenny Rahmeyer on News Radio KLBJ.
What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. What's going on?
I want to tell you how much I appreciate your programs. You're like a beacon of truth.
You're so spot on. And that's the way we as Americans feel.
So I really appreciate what you're doing.
Come on, talk to me. What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. What's going on?
And good afternoon to you. New levels of turmoil in the Mideast in the last 24 hours between Iran and Israel. Iran attacking Israel directly started about this time yesterday afternoon, and today it's going to be your first opportunity to react to this huge developing news story. I'm Kenny Rahmeyer, glad to be with you on the weekends here on News Radio KLBJ. President Biden's administration, let me just say, you'd have whiplash if you're paying attention lately. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that the Democrat Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was railing on Israel right there on the Senate floor. President Biden himself sending signals to Israel that our future support for Israel would come with certain conditions. And all of this as Biden's pandering to many pro-Palestinians, not only in his own party, but also in his own administration, for that matter. And so now, after warning Iran, of course, about threats to Israel, don't, right? We heard that. Well, they did. And so now he's telling Israel that the United States is supporting them. It's ironclad support, even though we're learning there are limits to that support. So all the latest developments on all of this afternoon right here on News Radio KLBJ. We're live and local for you this afternoon. You can give us a call or send us a text if you'd like to join us. 512-836-0590. Some other news as well this afternoon. Locally, another body found in Lady Bird Lake this weekend. In presidential politics, really interesting. Many of the leading news organizations have published an open letter today to President Biden and former President Trump, urging them to have debates this fall. We'll talk about that here on KLBJ. And as I mentioned, turmoil. Yeah, there's some turmoil within some of the big news organizations as well, like CBS, New York Times, and of course, some of the latest you've heard from National Public Radio, NPR. And maybe there should be more turmoil. I would suggest that, actually, at this point. So we'll talk about all of that and a whole lot more, and you can join us along the way here. 512-836-0590. I mentioned that Iran attacked Israel. It started about this time yesterday afternoon, a direct attack. The Washington Post reports it was a five-hour assault. All this in retaliation for a deadly Israeli strike on an Iranian diplomatic facility in Damascus, Syria. And the strike was massive. Hundreds of killer drones and guided missiles and supporting fire from at least some of Iran's regional proxies. In response, Israel leveraged the sophisticated air defense technology and its network of anti-Iran allies. And so it gained some operational freedom around the Mideast airspace there. And in the end, most of those drones and missiles were intercepted, and they occurred outside of Israeli territory, according to the Israeli military. Two Israeli officials told the New York Times that Iran launched 185 drones, 36 cruise missiles, and 110 surface-to-surface missiles as part of an unprecedented attack on Israel. They said most of the launches carried out from Iranian territory, some of them from Iraq and Yemen. And besides the United States, there were Britain and Jordanian forces that helped Israel intercept the launches. An IDF spokesperson said that 99% of the aerial threats were shot down. The UK also helped with shooting down some of those drones and missiles. French jets as well. And it appeared that the early warning radar systems located near Iran, some in Saudi Arabia, obviously the air defense systems there in Israel, all worked together. They spent days preparing for this, knowing full well an attack was coming. They just didn't know the timing. IDF said in a separate, the Israeli Defense Forces, a separate earlier statement, said there were some injuries, including at a military base in southern Israel. But according to the Israeli Defense Minister, very little damage was caused. 512-836-0590. Give us a call or send us a text if you'd like to join us here on KLBJ. And let's just take a moment here. Out of all of this turmoil, out of all of the, and I'll get to it here in a moment, the back and forth amongst American politicians and others around the world as to what's next, let's just stop and say thanks to the U.S. military, which by all accounts performed admirably in their role of helping Israel take out the drones and the missiles and the rockets. So as always, thanks to the military and their families for their service and their sacrifice. They're getting it right all the time, even as so many others, you got to ask questions. So where we are right now, the United Nations Security Council is meeting as we speak. Speculation that there might be some resolution or something, of course, condemning Iran. Who knows if they'll say they're a terrorist state and all that. That's all up for debate. Probably nothing's going to come out of the UN. Could we safely say that? Earlier today, President Biden was with his advisors in the Situation Room, as they were the latter part of yesterday evening. Biden also spoke with G7 leaders earlier today, as well as some U.S. congressional leaders. Now, we also know that Israel's war cabinet met overnight. They're trying to decide how to respond. By the way, all of that, as they already have heard from President Biden, telling Israel's prime minister, the United States is not going to help Israel in an offensive strike on Iran. So it was an hours-long cabinet meeting, ended late last night Israeli time. No decision on how Israel will respond, according to an Israeli official. The cabinet is determined to respond, just yet to decide on the timing and the scope. The official said the Israeli military has been tasked with coming up with additional options for a response. But here's NBC News reporting that President Biden is fearing that Prime Minister Netanyahu is trying to drag the United States into a wider conflict. So this is from NBC News. Senior U.S. officials saying Israel will rush to respond to this Iranian attack without considering the possible fallout. It's also reported that President Biden is privately expressing concern that Prime Minister Netanyahu is trying to drag the U.S. deeper into a wider conflict. So these reports, as there are concerns about the approach Israel took in the war against Hamas, as well as that attack in Damascus, apparently none of that communicated very well back to the United States. And the senior administration official talking to NBC said he didn't think Israel has a strategy and doesn't make the best strategic decisions. I got to say, if I'm Israel, I'm not sure I'm telling the Biden administration anything at this point. As I mentioned at the top of the show, there's pro-Palestinian factions within the Democrat Party, even within his own administration. It wasn't that long ago. There were threats by a lot of his own West Wing staffers, right, that they were going to protest the way the Biden administration's been helping Israel in Gaza, right? Remember all that? So the White House says it's up to Israel on how to respond. That's their official word today. U.S. officials sending similar messages in private, according to news reports this weekend, urging Israel to limit their retaliation and cool regional tensions. U.S. officials sending similar messages in private, apparently, any which way they can, and the president, of course, officially pressing for a united diplomatic response, whatever that's going to look like. John Kirby, a frequent spokesperson for the White House, especially on military affairs, was out on the Sunday TV news shows today. Here's a little bit of what Kirby had to say when challenged about just how much is the administration supporting Israel and where do things go from here?
Well, I think first we need to see what the War Cabinet decides in terms of the whatever next step they want to pursue. And that's a sovereign decision, of course, that our Israeli counterparts have to make. But I don't think you can look at what happened last night in any way, shape, or form and not come away convinced that the president meant every word he said, ironclad commitment. President Biden, since the beginning of this conflict, has worked very hard to keep this from becoming a broader regional war, to keep the tensions from escalating. Everything he's done, everything he's moved in the region, every decision, every discussion that he's had is all designed to not let this become a broader regional war, and that's where his head still is.
Okay, that's where his head still is, according to John Kirby at the White House. U.S. congressional leaders from both parties quick to condemn Iran's strikes on Israel yesterday, but both sides at odds on how to pass additional Israeli funding in the wake of these attacks. They're in Congress as they all come back now from their Easter recess. And it was, I got to say, I was scanning the websites, I was scanning the media. Not a lot of Democrats talking about this today. There were plenty of Republicans out there talking about it. Now, those in office and those who used to be in office in some capacity. So I tried to find some good representation here of Democrats and Republicans in Congress. Senator Chris Coons from Delaware telling CNN he thinks we should take a breath and analyze what the consequences might be of an attack back on Iran by Israel or any other escalation. U.S. Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, also pushing back on the president. He's one of those that at least got out in front of the cameras. He was on CNN. He said he doesn't agree with some of the comments that Biden has made recently and thinks we should be more firm in having Israel's back in this whole situation.
Things actually. I think it really demonstrates how it's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. Finally, it demonstrates how unstable things are and why we need to lean in and stand with Israel.
All right. So there's one Democrat who's saying we need to get behind Israel and do it more firmly. Here's another senator, Republican, Senator John Kennedy, clearly taking another side of all this.
Israel is at war with Iran. Iran hates Americans. Iran hates Jews. Iran wants to kill Americans and Jews.
They have made
and
that
if
clear.
We turn the other cheek to them, we're going to get it in the neck.
And then here's another a Democrat and a Republican, the Democrat, U.S. Senator Mark Kelly, the Republican, Senator Rand Paul.
There's another question. What are the possibility that we could de-escalate the situation? You know, every action has a reaction. Hamas attacked on October 7th. Awful, dreadful. Israel kills two generals. Now Iran attacks. So every action has a reaction. And is there a possibility that this could be de-escalated at this point?
This is a very aggressive act by Iran. They've been, you know, doing this for months now through their proxies, but now directly from Iranian territory. So this is significant. We don't want to see this escalate into a wider conflict.
All right. So a pretty good snapshot there. Some more bellicose terminology, at least from Senator Kennedy. You've got guys like Rand Paul and Mark Kelly saying, hey, let's look for some ways to dial this back. Meantime, the House Speaker Mike Johnson was on the Sunday TV news shows today talking about how are we going to get money to Israel. That's still pending out there, not to mention more money for Ukraine. And so we'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up here on KLBJ. Time for you to join us, 512-836-0590. Give us a call or send us a text right here on KLBJ. And Kenny Rahmeyer back with you here live and local on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for being with us on the weekends on News Radio KLBJ, giving you all the latest developments on Iran attacking Israel directly about 24 hours ago. Your first opportunity to react to this huge developing news story, 512-836-0590 is the phone number. You can give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. Some reaction from Iran, by the way. The attack was hailed as a national victory, according to Iran's state media. Cheerful crowds in the streets celebrating. In a letter to the UN, which I mentioned a moment ago, is meeting at this hour of a Security Council meeting going on right now as we speak. Iran said its attack was in self-defense after airstrikes that it attributed to Israel killed that senior Iranian military official, more than one actually, in that diplomatic facility in Syria. Iran said today it has no plans for any more action against Israel, but the Islamic Revolutionary Guard said it would retaliate against the U.S. or any country in the region that helps Israel in any kind of retaliatory strike. So, a lot of back and forth between U.S. politicians on where things go from here. Money, of course, is going to be front and center for Israel as both houses of Congress come back from their Easter recess. House Speaker Mike Johnson, out on the Sunday TV news shows today, said he's going to move forward with a vote on additional aid for Israel. Didn't go into specifics about his plans. Sounded like it was going to be just kind of open-ended, but he said in the days ahead.
We'll see what happens. Look, I do think that we showed resolve last night, thankfully. Many of us were concerned about that, to stand with our ally Israel. It's critically important to do that. We took down most of those drones and missiles, as you noted, and our other allies stepped up as well. What's important right now is that we stand with Israel. The House Republicans and the Republican Party understand the necessity of standing with Israel. We are going to try again this week, and the details of that package are being put together right now. We're looking at the options and all these supplemental issues.
Yeah, supplemental issues like aid to Ukraine. Hardline conservatives are warning the House Speaker against attaching any Ukraine funding to any of aid package for Israel. Congressman Michael McCaul, the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, represents a big part of the KLBJ listening area, said today the decision about when and how to bring any Ukrainian aid up for a vote in the House is his determination. McCaul said he had a commitment from the Speaker that the Ukraine aid would come to the floor and that his preference would be this week. So that remains up in the air. The funding piece of this will be interesting to watch in the days ahead. I got to step back. If you just take a look at this, and whether it's starting in Afghanistan, right? This president is supposed to be Mr. Foreign Policy, right? The expert. Do you really feel like the right guy's in charge at this point? And I'm not saying, you know, Trump, of course, is out there yesterday out on one of his campaign rallies saying none of this would ever happen if he'd been in charge. That's, of course, a counterfactual. There is some history to fall back on there. He's a wild card. Who knows? But he can't say it so definitively. I don't think this administration has done well at all in projecting any kind of deterrence on the world stage since Biden has been in office, and that continues to this day. These feckless threats of don't from the president, from the vice president, others in his administration, look where that's got us. You know, everything from the Chinese balloons to the Iran now, a direct attack on Israel. And speaking of China, here's just another weak point for the administration. I'll get to this quickly before our next news break coming up here, latest on what's going on in the Mideast. From Forbes magazine this weekend, China's providing Russia with equipment used to build drones, cruise missiles, and optical parts of tanks and other armored vehicles. That, according to the Associated Press. So China is helping Russia in the war against Ukraine, okay? Now, as just last week, CNBC reported, as you remember, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, the Chinese caller grandma, she was over in China, and she was warning China that the U.S. is prepared to sanction Chinese banks and companies if they assist Russia in the invasion of Ukraine. They're already doing it, ma'am. Here's another report from the AP. The fact is, it's been widely reported that's been going on for over a year. I got a story here from April of last year that China's approving lethal aid to Russia, disguising it as civilian assistance. More coming up. Stay with us here on KLBJ. And Kenny Rollmeyer back with you Sunday afternoon. Always good to be with you on the weekends here on News Radio KLBJ. We're live and local for you this afternoon, covering all the latest developments out of the Mideast. Iran's attack on Israel. In the last 24 hours, just following all the headlines for you, just to wrap up on that, a poll was taken. No, it wasn't since the military strike yesterday. This was actually Politico Morning Consult poll about President Biden's handling of the situation in the Mideast. And according to this new poll, a plurality of Americans want President Biden to begin taking a tougher stance on Israel. And they want a ceasefire in the war against Hamas, right? 34% of respondents felt Biden is not tough enough. 24% are not sure. 26% believe he's handling it just about right. 17% felt he's being too tough. That's, again, some of the latest poll numbers. All this before Iran's military strike against Israel over the weekend. 512-836-0590 here on KLBJ. You can give us a call or send us a text if you'd like to be a part of the program. Here's Gary calling in this afternoon from Georgetown on KLBJ. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Kenny. I wanted to thank you for giving a recap on everything that's happened over the past 24, 48 hours between Israel and Iran. I think it's, I just can't emphasize enough to anybody that's listening out there how important Israel is to us. And this is, personally, I think it's because of the lack of toughness in our foreign policies that is provoking a lot of this. And it's unfortunate, you know. Again, I'm a believer in peace through strength, and we're not showing it.
You know, Gary, I understand what you're saying. I think a lot of people feel that way. As I mentioned, the top of the show, I don't think it's any surprise maybe that not many Democrats have come out either in print or in front of the media, either on radio or, on TV certainly. And I think they're somewhat conflicted on exactly where to come down on all this. I think they also know they don't have a lot to say when they were surely going to be asked by many of the reporters saying, hey, what about the U.S. position in the Mideast, U.S. support for Israel, and our lack of deterrence, right? If you'll hold on, I do want to play a clip. The former National Security Advisor to Trump, John Bolton, was on CNN today, and he was talking about the importance of deterrence and how this administration has not done very well in that regard. Just listen to this, and we'll come back and talk about it, okay? Here's Bolton.
Okay. Unless Iran sees a powerful response, that risk will continue. And the way to reestablish deterrence is not proportional. That's academic talk. The way you establish deterrence is by telling your adversary, if you ever try that again, the price you will pay will be so much higher than any gain you think you can get, you shouldn't even think about it. So I think Israel has a wide range of potential targets. You start by flattening Iran's air defense capabilities. Next, you might go after headquarters of the regular military and the Revolutionary Guard. You could consider going after their oil infrastructure. The oil fields, the distribution pipelines, the export port facilities. And most importantly, I think Israel should be looking at this as an opportunity to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program, which is the existential threat that Israel faces. I don't know what they'll do. I can't predict it. But I will tell you this. If Joe Biden, as some press reports have it, is urging the Israelis not to retaliate at all, he is an embarrassment to the United States. This is an American interest to make sure that Iran, which is the principal threat to international peace and security in the region, is at a minimum put in its place, to spare Israel, to spare the Gulf Arabs, to spare us from the threat that they pose.
Now, Gary, back to you. A lot of people hearing those comments are going to say, here's a warmonger. And that's just escalating this way beyond where it needs to be at this point. And yet, I got to think his comments represent a lot of people's thinking out there these days. What do you make of that?
I totally agree with what you're saying. And I totally agree with his comments. I don't see it as an escalation. It escalated when Iran started from own country. And we all know they've been using their minions to work Israel over the years. But when they start throwing weapons at Israel out of Iran per se, you know, Iran proper, then all cards are off the table. It's I don't want to see a war. It's the last thing I want to see. But our interests over there are very important in our situation with Israel being a key ally in the region is critical. And if we don't step up to the plate on this, well, I think other people are going to take notice. So,
and Gary, let me just, I'll finish with this. I think Israel is getting tired of being the punching bag in the Mideast, right? They got it coming at them from all sides. They have it most prominently within the last, 6 months or so. Well, since October, right? And now a direct attack from Iran, it would seem guys like Bolton and any other advisors to Netanyahu are saying, if we're not going to strike back now and I think they have the capability to do it with precision and all of that. If we're not going to try to go after their oil, if we're not going to go after their nukes or, you know, whatever else, then when are we going to do it? And
exactly.
I'm thinking the Israeli people are just up to here with it.
I'm so disgusted with our policy right now as it pertains to Israel and the Mideast. And I'm just so disappointed that we're put in this position.
Gary, thanks. Good to hear from you from Georgetown. When we come right back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Really some key developments in the U.S. media. Huge media organizations, about a dozen of the biggest here in the United States, an open letter today urging President Biden and former President Trump to have some televised debates ahead of the November elections. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up here on KLBJ. Kenny Rollmeyer back with you as we're covering all the latest developments on the Iran strike against Israel in the Mideast within the last 24 hours. And some breaking news on that. The UN Security Council has just wrapped up its meeting. No readout of what exactly happened at that meeting. We'll have it for you as it becomes available here. Sky News reporting on X, on Twitter, that plans for both offensive and defensive action have been authorized after last night's attack by Iran. That, according to an IDF spokesperson just moments ago. So we'll see what happens with all of that. 512-836-0590 here on KLBJ. Give us a call or send us a text to North Austin. And Sis, you're on KLBJ. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to, a lot of people don't realize Afghanistan is right next to China, and they have a nuclear facility right there. So Biden didn't succeed for us when he left the airport. He succeeded for China because China didn't want us there. And the second thing is, all these Chinese people coming in, if you notice, they're going into California. They need the diagrams and stuff for the nuclear submarine. And they've had tons of people being paid to try to get that for the nuclear submarine and the nuclear ships.
You know, sis, I don't know if you're like me. I can't believe that China hasn't had a big hand in this already. with Iran striking out at Israel with China's full support. You know, the balloon over the United States last year, China's looking for any and all opportunities to take shots at the United States and the Biden administration just to see how far, you know, everybody else can go as they've got their sights set on Taiwan.
And the UN, they are second as far as the amount of money that's given. And they only do that just so the U.S. thinks that we're number one. But China gives the second, you know, most amount of money to the U.N. So that's the reason why they won't do anything, is they can't afford to do anything.
The U.N. is so worthless, isn't it, sis, yep, for the most part?
Yep. They haven't done anything. Oh, and China has a bio lab in Ukraine, and they've done nothing about that. And so why hasn't anybody said, well, maybe China is using Ukraine?
Sis, what do you think happens in the days ahead here? Is Israel going to go ahead and strike back at Iran? Are they going to take a more measured approach, as the Biden administration would like for them to do? Where do you see this going?
I'm going to leave that up to them, but they really definitely shouldn't trust Biden, because they doubled the uranium that they've been giving Iran to begin with when he took office. So that's another one. So he sure does seem to be succeeding for everybody else but us.
Yeah, it's just, thanks for calling in, sis. I said it earlier. If I'm Israel and Netanyahu, and I was going to do anything in terms of response against Iran, I'm not sure I would let the Biden administration in on it. And that's probably okay with Biden, right? That way he can tell Iran, we didn't have anything to do with it, didn't even know about it. And so his policy of appeasement, and back from his Obama days, right, just coexistence, that's what they were hoping for back then. 512-836-0590. Still time for you to jump in here on KLBJ. I wanted to jump into this just for a moment. First off, just I saw this, the latest Gallup poll numbers. 32% of Americans say they trust the media a great deal or a fair amount. I think that's almost an historic low in Gallup polling for the media. Just a couple of months ago, there was some more data. This is basically the Nielsen ratings of the internet. Readership of the 10 largest conservative websites down about 40% compared with the same month in 2020. So it lists a few. The Daily Caller down 57%. Drudge Report, although I don't think that's as conservative, certainly, as it ever used to be, down 81%. Maybe that's why. The Federalist, down 91%, right? So very popular, large conservative websites down in viewership pretty dramatically. FoxNews.com, the most popular conservative news website, down only 22%. Okay, well, it's not just the conservative media. Take a look at some of the liberal-leaning websites as well, like Slate, down 42% of its traffic, Daily Beast, down 41%, Vox, down 62%. So a lot of mistrust, right, in the media. Or maybe some people are just tuning out. They just can't handle some of the news going on anymore these days. And who could blame them for that? I know, do you know people who have just, they just kind of checked out? They don't even watch the news much anymore. Broadcast news, Fox is still leading hands down right over MSNBC and CNN. But that, so it's just a backdrop there of what's going on in the media. Of course, CBS, ABC, NBC, they're in the mix, but way down. So a dozen of the nation's biggest news organizations, an open letter today to urge President Biden, former President Trump, to debate before the November elections. This is the AP, CBS, CNN, Fox, NBC, News Nation, ABC, NPR, PBS, USA Today, right? A whole bunch of them. Now, there's three scheduled presidential debates for September and October, one in Texas, one in Virginia, one in Utah, and I think one VP debate. Is this going to have any bearing on what's going to happen? I'll be very surprised if we have three. I'll be surprised if we have one, frankly. I don't think either team is going to be able to get together on any kind of arrangement. Certainly the Biden team. Of course, Trump says he's ready to do it anytime, any place. The more, the merrier. I just don't see him putting President Biden out there in that kind of setting. He couldn't handle 90 minutes. I'm not sure he could go 60 minutes. They pare it back to 30 minutes. That's nothing. So far, Biden's declined. But this is something that the press ought to be asking about in the White House briefing room every day now, since all these media outlets have come out, putting pressure on the administration. If you're not going to commit to debates, why not? We all know why. But let's get an official answer from the White House on why they're not going to commit to it, why they're not going to have that level of transparency that not only the media organizations, I think a lot of people want to see. What was the average? I've got that here. In the debates in 2020, I think it was like 68-some million average for the two Biden-Trump debates. Yeah, 68 million. To not have any debates, you'd have to go back to the Jimmy Carter-Gerald Ford election of 1976. We need some debates, right? That needs to happen. And you've heard about the stories. Don't have time to go into it all now. NPR's in turmoil, right? But that 25-year senior business editor who published a paper and talked about how NPR has been leaning to the left so frequently. He castigated NPR coverage of the Gaza war, the origins of COVID-19, the lack of reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop really took him to task. And of course, they're pushing back on it. I'm glad he spoke out. I wish more would. The New York Times is investigating itself, reportedly. Apparently, the executive editor there and some of the newsroom leaders are concerned that even though they've added what they say are a lot of digital savvy workers who are skilled in like data analytics and so forth, they're not trained in so-called independent journalism. They say the colleges aren't preparing them to work in the big newsrooms of the day. That seems like a cover. Everybody knows the New York Times leans to the left, has forever, and I don't see that changing in any way. It should. I'd like to see some more people from the Times. I'd like to see more people from all these networks speak out. I like what Catherine Herridge, who was CBS News, right? She's been canned, used to be with Fox News, her investigative journalist work, highly acclaimed. She's ticked off at CBS. She was investigating the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. She got canned, and they, she says, took a lot of her notes, top secret, according to a journalist, information about her sources in that should be private to her. Now, the CBS says they've returned it. I'm just glad to see the turmoil in these big newsrooms, and there needs to be more. There needs to be a huge shakeup, and the outrage over NPR, I think in the 2025 budget, I think the Biden administration's asking for whatever, $500-some million for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That is an outrage. I know regular listeners tired of hearing me say this, an outrage that any taxpayer dollars are going to any media outlet. PBS is a tremendous organization. KLRU locally, one of those PBS stations. Great stuff. Austin City Limits and all that. They could go sell those programs and make huge money on them outside of the PBS network. To give taxpayer dollars to a media entity is all wrong. Charles calling in on the latest over in the Mideast as we begin to wrap up here. Hi, Charles. You're on KLBJ.
Good afternoon. Great show as usual. I don't think people realize how lucky we are to have a show that actually explains things and gives the other side, because all we seem to get is this edited version of controlled censorship from what the left wants us to believe and what have you. But real quick on Israel, and I appreciate your points and completely agree with you on your point.
Well, thank you.
This happened because we're weak. This happened because we have this depiction of being weak. But people need to understand Israel's position. Israel is little bitty. It's a small country. It might be the size of Delaware, maybe a little bit bigger. It would take a very small strategic nuke a dirty nuke, a mass release or something like that, that could basically take that country off the globe. That's why they need to stand strong, and this is going to happen. I do feel it's a China probe to test our military or to test our defenses and our reactions, but that's the why Israel has to stand strong at this moment in time with what happened from the attacks from Israel, from Iran.
You know, I think you're making great points, Charles, and who knows if next time, as you said, some of those missiles may not have some nuclear element to it, or, you know, something incredibly powerful, and it only takes one of them to get through to hit Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, right? One of those heavily populated areas. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. And the country, I mean, it's the size of the country that people need to realize. They're seeing it on TV, they're hearing this, but pull out a globe, pull out a map. If we got hit by a strategic nuke, smaller nuke, like something like Hiroshima nuke that happened, we would survive. Of course, it'd trigger something. But as far as just the attack itself goes, Israel would cease to exist.
Charles, thanks. We're out of time. I appreciate your phone call and your good thoughts and your comments this afternoon. And thank you for listening on this big news weekend here on News Radio KLBJ. Of course, our regular programming will be all over it all day tomorrow. Fox News will be on it as the day goes along. Thanks to executive producer Garrett. Thank you for listening. Back with you next weekend right here on KLBJ.